If this is your first time joining us, on Weird Awakenings, we discuss anomalous phenomena, the strange, the curious, the extraordinary, the bizarre. Throw in the occasional conspiracy theory, and you get us. Cecil, Hadley, Stephen, Tully, and myself, Morgana, just a few of the weird kids. Weird Awakenings is a part of the Weird Realities Network. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to our channels. We can be found at linktree.com/weirdrealities. That's weird with a Y. Okay, gang, grab those tinfoil hats and let's get weird. All right. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on this wonderfully weird night. Hope everybody's doing okay. How's everybody's week been?
Perfect.
Oh, I like to hear that.
No busting water pipes at work this week?
No, not to me this week.
Well, you know, the weekend could hold all kinds of fun things. So, all right, and we would like to welcome Ms. Sarah from a Paranormally Correct out of Kentucky. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I do Paranormally Correct on YouTube and TikTok, mostly just TikTok now, and I cover strange things in Kentucky. So mostly folklore, a lot of paranormal stuff. I really like cryptids, so I try to talk about those as much as possible. But I do like just some general mystery unsolved type stuff too.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you.
Sorry, Morgana. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, we appreciate you being with us tonight.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
I just can't, it blows my mind how much you actually get out of Kentucky though.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, to really like dedicate a channel toward it, like that's
a lot of research.
Yeah, it is. It really is a lot of research, and a lot of it you can't find online. So a lot of it's word of mouth too, which makes it incredibly difficult to kind of like track everything down. But
yeah, and that's what's awesome to me about having someone like you is that you do know the stuff that, you know, we couldn't just find from doing basic research. So, you know, that's awesome. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, I grew up in a place where there were a lot of elderly people, like back in the late 80s and early 90s, and I liked hearing their stories. And that's kind of like what got me on this path to looking for these types of stories. And so I know a lot of their old stories, plus the ones I've collected along the years. And so I try to incorporate stuff like that into the videos and the content that I make.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, you know, those old folks are going away, so... Now, especially, I'm like, I wish I'd have listened more, you know, when I was younger and everything. But, you know, hindsight. So, hey, Mike. Hey, Landa. Hi, Shelby.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
So, all right. So, I want one of you wonderful Kentucky people to tell us about some of your strangeness.
I want to break a stereotype real quick. There is a law in Kentucky where every citizen must take a shower at least once a year.
Oh, wow.
That tracks.
I like it. And I'll jump in with your strange names. We're going to go with Tacky Town, Kentucky. Yeah. I've heard that.
Pale blue houses and purple.
Well, there's actually blue people as well. I think that's colloidal silver related, or maybe some minerals in the water that they're like.
Apparently, it's genetic. That's not far from where my family, my mom's side of the family.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What was that family's name?
The Fugits.
Well, Fugits. That's right. That's right. I knew it started with an F. I just couldn't remember what it was. So, and
Has Kentucky had anybody famous since Daniel Boone?
Brother, have you heard of the White Kelp? Have you heard of Johnny Depp?
Have you heard of Colonel Sanders?
Have you heard of Colonel
Sanders? Oh, that's a rabbit hole. So we lived very close to where the original KFC was, and there's people that argue that the original KFC isn't in Kentucky, you know, like there's a lot to Colonel Sanders. Like, you know how they make him out to be like a lowly person that just kind of made his own way. and this would resonate with Alan if he was on, I think, but Colonel Sanders was actually a 33rd degree Freemason.
Yeah.
Which is like the top, like the end all be all of Freemasonry.
That's cool. Oh, by the way, I have penciled in on one of our so-called holiday episodes that, you know, we never actually skip. Alan Lassiter has asked us to do one on secret societies.
Nice. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. So, because we've never actually done one that was strictly on that. So, all right. So, 33rd degree Mason. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because I would not have known that.
Yep. And you can actually check out his gravestone and you'll see the all the masonry symbols and the 33rd degree.
And I live in the same county that the original KFC is in now. And I went there and they have a museum and I stood next to Colonel Sanders, not too long.
Well, I don't think that's that strange,
but Sarah, what's one of your highlights?
Like a personal experience or just one of my favorite stories?
Whatever you want to roll with.
There's so much. I love that Kentucky apparently has a goblin infestation.
Yeah.
Kind of random, but I really appreciate that. And our goblins, I don't think anybody has noticed this. Someone pointed this out to me on one of my live streams a few weeks ago. They're like, did you notice that all of the goblin sightings in Kentucky, they all have ears? And I was like, you know, I never thought of that. They do have ears because, you know, like the Hopkinsville Green Men and, you know, then the one in Pikeville, we kind of tend to think maybe they're aliens, like little grays or something like that, but they have ears.
I was going to say, I put bad ears on mine.
Like all the Kentucky goblins, and I think there was actually another one even in another incident in Somerset, Kentucky.
No, the... Or where was? Oh yeah, I think there actually was. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure there was. But I've done a lot of like cryptid sort of research recently, and something that kind of perked my ears up. I came across the Dover Demon, and the Dover Demon's description sounds almost identical to a lot of these Kentucky goblins. I thought that was weird that I wanted to call out.
Yeah.
How different is it from the Jersey Dip?
Oh, they're pretty different. Like the Kentucky Goblin is just, you know, a wee little creature, big old bad ears, big old round yellow eyes. Dip. You know, the Jersey Devil, what is it? Tail, wings, all that good
stuff.
Yeah,
well, and the Jersey Devil kind of sounds a lot like a chupacabra as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Yep.
So have you talked to anybody that has had personal experience with the goblins?
Yeah, I have actually. I did have one witness tell me a story about seeing, and this was in Eastern Kentucky, probably 10-ish years ago, something like that, about seeing a little goblin-type creature. But I don't think this person was really aware of how many goblin sightings have been reported in Kentucky. So it was interesting, but there wasn't much to it because it was apparently a really quick encounter. But yeah, so more goblin stories.
that wild.
But I have a theory about the goblins because you know how like fairies and all this stuff originate from Ireland. Like, well, they don't originate, but they're from over there. Like a lot of people in Southeastern and Eastern Kentucky originate, like their origins trace back to like Ireland, Scotland, places like that. You see, I think they kind of migrated with them. You just kind of hung out in mine shafts and stuff. That's my theory.
Well, Kentucky's a good place for mine shafts and stuff.
That's not a bad theory. I like that theory, Cecil.
There is a author by the name of, I think, R.J. Stewart. Let me double check his name, but that's me. He's a petitioner of the fairy tradition, and he has a lot of belief, Cecil, that goes back to the fact that a lot of the fae and family spirits that were tied to families in the old country came over with.
Yeah. Zach.
I like that. I like that.
But, which but, means that they don't exist without people. Because there really weren't that many people in the United States before we got.
There was a lot of people. There's probably a lot more than what your history.
Yeah. So that they didn't have goblins or fairies?
Oh, they had all kinds.
So I know you like the theory that they came across with us.
Well,
I would.
Hey, Alan.
Yeah.
I think what it is, Joe, is that certain kinds of fairies or fae came over with immigrants. There were already the native ones here.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
Yeah. Of course, the little people were already here.
I'm not going to get into this tonight, but just in short, like, banshees are tied to families. It's a familial spirit that is tied to certain family lines. So that would be natural for them to travel with them. But I think that some just like house brownies and things like that just traveled with the families that they serve.
Mm. Neat.
Add it to the list, Morgana. We'll talk about another.
All right, you got it.
And where have you gone across very many stories of the little people in Kentucky? Because that's actually something that's pretty well known.
Yeah. So as far as like this particular topic goes, this is one of my favorite topics. And I've been trying to like make some videos recently on this because Eastern Kentucky, where I'm from, is pretty well steeped in this traditional storytelling thing that people apparently have carried with them for many generations. And it's kind of insane because they're like, for example, Rawhead and Bloody Bones. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that demon, Rawhead and Bloody Bones, but that's a really old story that goes all the way back to like the 1500s. And I heard it growing up as a kid, you know, and lots of other people heard it. And so it's just really cool that stories like that have been carried over. But my grandmother actually used to have this superstition that if you threw a pan of water or something outside, like off your porch, you were supposed to tell the little people to watch out, you know, look out below, little people, kind of say. I had a weird experience when I was a kid where I thought I saw a leprechaun, but I mean, I was a kid. I don't know. But as far as like, I don't think I've ever done witness reports of people seeing little people, but I have, you know, but then it's like, well, what's the line between goblin and little people? Maybe I have. Maybe it's like one and the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and what some people look at and see as a monster, others look at and see as a familiar face. I mean, so, you know.
And the little people were also called the moon.
Noonanad.
Oh, well, that would fit with the goblins for sure.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
But I've got a personal experience, so I'd like to have your take on it. And I actually spoke with the guy that was with me. I've told this story on here 30 times probably. I spoke with the guy that was with me when this happened to confirm that I wasn't like crazy, because this was back when I was doing things that you shouldn't be doing as a teenager. But we used to ride four-wheelers and stuff, which are ATVs for all the fancy folk, or quads in the woods. And we'd go trail a lot. And there was one time in particular, I was probably 14, 15, 16, somewhere around there, where we was riding in the woods and we came across a pack of bear and lion. Like, is probably an 18 but in circumference circle where nothing was growing in the middle of the woods. And all around it were little rocks that three tiers high and like a pyramid shape. So I walked into it and I felt like static running through my body. He said, when I talked to him the other day, he said that when I went into it, the sound changed in the area. So we left, didn't really think much about it. And we went back kind of looking for it a couple days later, and we came across a cabin. Now this cabin was run down, but it was really strange because there was smoke coming out of the chimney. And so I was like, that's weird. I'm going to walk up here and see who lives here, because I was curious. So I started walking up, and while I was walking up, you could see through the walls, like the cracks, and like smoke was kind of coming out. I was like, well, that's not good. While I was getting ready to knock on the door, he's like, hey, stop, you know. And then while I stopped and turned around, he's pointing, and the same rocks were stacked up around this cabin. But we got out of there pretty fast. I still don't know what that was. Do you guys have any theories on that?
You had stepped into another realm.
The only thing like that that I've ever experienced in the woods.
What was it like?
Was also, well, this was in Jackson County, but do you remember me telling you guys about the native grounds that we found as children? And it was like a legend. Like it wasn't any sort of official native burial grounds or anything. But there was always these rumors, and people were like, yeah, these big heaps of rocks could be. And we're like 13. And we're like, no, there's no way. And there was like four or five of us. And of course, as teenage boys, we grabbed like every tool we could and like headed up the mountain in the middle of the woods. And we get to swinging at the spot where they told us that this was. And every tool we took, like a mattock, we had some hose and shovels, all wooden handled. Every handle on every tool broke when we were swinging on this mound. And it was that same knot that we come out of the woods and we're like in a clearing where their house is, and everything got kind of staticky, like what you're talking about. Like it got staticky when we were swinging the tools, like quiet, like dead quiet. And that's when the, well, I always call it a unicorn. It didn't have a horn, but it was a glowing horse, came out of the woods. It was, I know I've told you guys that before, but I wouldn't have believed it if other people hadn't have seen it. And I've never seen anything like that since, a horse at least. So that's my personal crazy Kentucky experience.
I still saw mine up to hill people. Like there's still people that live in the hill, so they could have been hill people.
You thought yours might have been a Methuselah.
In my opinion. Very well could have been, actually.
Yeah.
But Greenfall number two.
Now, what? Kentucky.
In London, Kentucky, it is illegal to engage in sexual activities on a park motorcycle.
What? Good to know. There you go, Joe. There's your warning, Joe. Yeah. Oh, since I've hit 60, I've really been going at that motorcycle kind. Poor Jill, she's had enough. She wants to move back to the hatchback.
I want to know where that one pigeon. I'm like, I need to go up here in town and be like, hey, where did this all go?
Well, something had to be a catalyst.
Not a moving motorcycle. Apart,
we have stupid laws like that here in Minnesota too. Like, it's actually illegal to drive a car with a bear in the back seat.
Well,
it's an actual. Well, somebody's done that, though. There's a reason that that's a thing.
What did I tell y'all? What is it? A couple of weeks ago, I bought a purling iron, and it had for external use only.
That's a suggestion. That is not actually a law.
You obviously never burned yourself with a curling iron.
It's food. I've seen the result.
But
so
in Lexington, Kentucky, it's illegal to carry ice cream in your pocket. So
that should hit home for you, Sarah.
What? You know, well, technically, it's your back pocket. And you know why?
Well,
it's actually, this is a smart law because you can steal a horse that way. You put the ice cream cone in your back pocket and you just walk away and the horse follows you home.
That's reality.
Yeah.
I like it.
So growing up in Eastern Kentucky, did you have any weird experiences, like, I don't know, out in the woods, like when you were exploring as a kid or anything?
If you mean like in regards to the whole Appalachian thing, like I'm sure you all have heard the new trendy thing where it's like if you heard your name in the woods,
yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
I never
experienced anything like that.
No, absolutely not. And I never heard anybody say that growing up either.
No.
But I did have, I was an adult by the time I had like my first official weird woods situation in Eastern Kentucky, which was my Bigfoot sighting. But that's a whole other story.
he can edit.
So I did. I saw Bigfoot. I had never planned on seeing a Bigfoot, so I wasn't prepared for it because at the time I didn't know if I believed in Bigfoot. I wanted to because it seems right that we could possibly have a North American primate. You know, that doesn't seem that far-fetched. I mean, it was crazy. Me and my husband were driving down the road. He didn't have his glasses on because this has come up. So I'm just going to go ahead and mention this. He didn't have his glasses on and he's either nearsighted or farsighted. Whichever one, he can't see very well too far away. I can. And it was just about dark. And this thing that was enormous. And when I say enormous, I'm going to keep talking about how big it was because that was the most profound part of this experience. Walked across the road, and this is like a little narrow rural road in Sandy Hook, Kentucky, so it's not like a big highway. This thing made about 2.5-3 steps, and it was all the way across the road because its gait, you know, where its legs were so big, its gait was really wide. And I was just like, oh my god, like I was freaking out. And my husband's like, what is it? I'm like, and it was gone. And the funniest part is like where I saw it, there's a hill on one side of the road, which is, it was going this way. So it had come off the hill and the hill's pretty much a total drop. Crosses the street and then there's another drop off. So this thing was like very good at, you know, lumpy terrain traversing these hills and it was gone so quickly. I have one regret. I wish I'd have got out and tackled it. There's no way I could find it. But yeah, so
that's an appropriate response.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to go all in.
I have they've been heckling me. I saw something at a graveyard a few months back and they're like, You should have been all over it. And I'm like, yeah, next time I'll just go tackle it in the graveyard.
So there's another show called Folk and Weird where we go out and explore things and Tully usually goes. So he was at a graveyard and he said, I seen this woman dressed in black from head to toe. Didn't film it.
Well, this particular graveyard, it's Spring Grove and it's like, it's a massive cemetery. It's like 1,000 acres. It's like the third or fourth largest cemetery in the United States. And they have a funeral home there that can hold 4 or 5 funerals simultaneously. So there's always funerals going on and always people in black everywhere. And it didn't click in my mind. I was in a very old part of the cemetery, me and my wife were, and like a part where nobody's been buried in probably 100 years. And I saw what appeared to be a woman and it was only after the fact I thought it was weird because she was in period clothing, like old looking clothing. And I didn't think anything of it because you just see so many people out there like exploring and, you know, everybody's wearing black.
Well, see, and I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't have thought anything about it down here had I seen that because we have so many reenactments at Beauvoir. And, you know, these like old cemeteries, you know, certain times of the year, you know, our glorious dead and everything.
Well, I've got a theory now after Tully did that. I feel like people that are filming just don't believe that what they see is actually something. So they just don't film that.
I mean, I'm not out there expecting to see anything. Like, you know, the EMF goes off sometimes. Sometimes I catch some weird stuff on the box, but I'm not seeing like, I mean, this was as like real as looking at you guys. Like it wasn't like an apparition. You know what I mean? Like it.
Yeah. But telling the people over to the debunk the art that you caught.
The what?
That light that you
Oh, yeah, the lock.
No, no, I haven't. If you remember, I went back and sent you guys. I went back to that exact spot and I couldn't see it. So, before I forget it, I think Sarah's been to the gates of hell.
Have you been to the gates of hell?
I haven't got to go to it. I want to go to it, but I haven't gone because I wasn't sure if I could go. Because I've heard it's private property, or you have to cross private property. I'm always hesitant to like trespass and, you know, things like that. So, but I would like to. I would definitely like to. I did make a video on it, though. Interesting.
If you want to take that one, you can tell people what the gates of hell is.
Yeah, so there's a lot of versions of the story. There's, but really it's one of those types of graveyard stories where anytime there's an interesting looking graveyard, you kind of hear these same stories over and over and over attached to it. So like every area kind of has one of these. But so basically it's haunted, and people say that they see, I don't want to say like, you know, keywords or anything, but they see images of things hanging from the trees, like where people have been unalived, if you will. They see shadows moving in the forest. It's a lot of that type of folklore attached to it. What I think is most interesting about Gates of Hell is that right down the road from it is what used to be an old girls' school, like years and years ago. And there was a murder situation at the school, allegedly. I don't know if there's any real proof that it happened, but one of the nuns was beheaded. And apparently she's buried in the Gates of Hell Cemetery. So, but there's a lot of variations of the stories for Gates to Hell. So, you know, I think that's the most interesting one because you could still go and see this old school. And it's, you know, it's really cool again. It's like an old house type place. But there were also allegedly, there were a lot of people, like young girls and nuns and stuff, went missing from this school. And some people say they think that they're also buried in the Gates of Hell Cemetery.
Something, and I don't know if this is just like secondhand rumors about this cemetery. And I think it's in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, or close. It's like out on a country road. But I've heard people say that if you go there, like in your car, you pull up to the cemetery, you get out, you walk around. There's a lot of times where when you get back to your car, that your car won't start. Like that, the batteries on everything just drain like crazy there. And people also say, in addition to the hanging things in trees, people report that the tree actually move, that you know, they'll walk around and then turn around and like they'll swear that a tree was somewhere else that it now is.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because those two theories, I guess, are also attached to another place that I just researched recently. I'm trying to find the name. I can't remember what cemetery it was. Let me see here. Oh, I wish I'd had this pulled up because this was really cool. Baker Holler Road in Marion, Kentucky. The stories of this particular cemetery are almost identical to the Gates of Hell Cemetery, except this one in Marion County allegedly moves around. So when you drive up the holler, it's not there, but they say if you go and you turn around and you come back, it appears.
The whole graveyard?
The whole graveyard.
Alan,
you gotta go there. Come on, guys.
Alan,
trip.
Alan actually sent me the information on that. Alan, so thank you. Yeah, that's a crazy one.
Listen, you guys, your next fun town, Hell's Half Acre, Kentucky.
Hell's Half Acre.
Uh huh. Is that your place?
So what? I grew up. Well, so did Cecil.
I've got two acres. Thank you very much.
Cecil and I grew up very close to a place called Hell for Certain. And the story goes that when it was founded, the people that founded this section of land were surveying it. And one of the guys stepped in a big mud hole and looked up and he said, "This is Hell for Certain."
Yeah.
Well, they said this one got its name from its reputation of being a place where rowdy types enjoyed spending time.
That could be, a thousand different places now. Let's see.
Well, there was also a man there by the name of Nut Knot, who lived in a cave in the area. He constantly carried an axe everywhere he went, and that he spent time hiding in the local cemetery to scare people who walked through.
That still doesn't narrow it down.
Okay.
I will say, now that you mentioned cave, one of the strange Kentucky things is, of course, Mammoth Cave. You know, if you ever, if you go to Mammoth Cave, or at least, you know, back in the day when I went, there was a cave that was, it's blocked off that you can't go in. And they say it's because there's African bats in there. And people say that that's actually an entrance to Hollow Earth, if you believe in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of things tied in the Mammoth Cave.
It may come out in Arkansas. So
it may, yeah. Well, yeah, if you overlay, well, you guys already know, if you overlay all the caves in the United States, typically they're running through, like, where they've wardened off the national parks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why would there be African bats in there?
I mean, you would. I'm sure they have a, I'm sure they have, like, an official explanation for that, Joe.
I have to ask you this, Joe. What better way to keep people from exploring the entrance to Middle Earth than saying there's African bats with rabies in there?
Yeah. It would be a good scare tactic.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Gotta ask. I don't know if you go out actively researching Bigfoot or anything like that. What about Dogman? Have you run across Dogman stories?
Oh, let me tell you my experiences with Dogman. I can just go on a tangent. I'll try to keep it brief as possible. So first of all, I used to be a cryptid hunter very briefly. I wasn't good at it. I didn't know what I was doing. I shouldn't have been there. But I used to investigate with a very well-known Dogman team, and we'll leave it at that. And we actually filmed a pilot for TV show with this team. That was my crash course introduction into the world of Dogman hunting. And the reason that I got into Dogman is because I had discovered this channel on YouTube back in like 2017, I think. I started listening to it. I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I got to think, I was like, you know, this thing that they're describing, it sounds an awful lot like something I saw one time. Is that like a weird experience from 2002, 2001? Where I saw a thing in the road and I never knew what it was. And so when I started hearing all of the Dogman stories pop up, I was like, you know, that kind of sounds like the creature. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. So long story short, I got into Dogman. I went, you know, to try to like Dogman hunt. I don't know how you hunt these things. Like, first of all, it seemed a little ridiculous to me to go hunt a cryptid. Obviously, it's going to hide. Obviously, you're not going to find it. They're smart. My whole take on Dogman is I waffle back and forth all the time about what, you know, whether I think it's real or not, because part of my brain says this is ridiculous. There's no way this thing exists. But there's another part of me, especially the part that talks to dozens of people who swear that they've had encounters with Dogman. And I'm like, you know, obviously it doesn't make it true just because a lot of people believe it. But there are so many people who don't know anything about cryptids. And they'll send me emails and they'll be like, I just have to tell you about this because I've never told anybody and I saw this thing one time. And then they proceed to describe Dogman. So I don't know. Is it real? Is it not real? I have no idea.
Yeah, they're real. I didn't want them to be real, but they are.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the pictures readily available, Stephen, but I know that, I don't know whether you caught it on trail cam, but.
No, I took that picture with my phone.
Steven has a picture where it literally is it looks like a wolf with a very large upper abdominal standing on two legs, and took a picture of the tracks and stuff, and the tracks are bipedal.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
That's what.
Yeah, I would love to. It's easy.
Email it to me, Steven. That way I can.
While we're waiting for that, Sarah, have you heard of the Gothic big bird that lives in Corbin, Kentucky?
Gothic Big Bird.
Well,
the devil. Is it me?
No.
I don't know. I kind of feel like that's me, maybe, possibly. If you see me out in public, anyway.
Well, in Kentucky, there's a place called Devil's Creek, and it's got like some stuff tied to it about the graveyard and Satanic Church and stuff that was there. But one of it is that there's a cryptid that's a giant 8-foot tall bird man. Apparently, it looks like Big Bird from Sesame Street, but he's just like, you know, the dark side of it.
Like some legs, like he can walk up right.
Yeah.
Big Bird's evil twin.
Pretty much, yeah. And apparently, if you're driving down through there at certain times, he'll chase you and stuff like that. There's actually, from the graveyard, there's something called the Dog Branch or whatever, where he's supposed to live. I've been there 100 times, though. I've never seen it. It'd be fun, though.
Hey, do y'all remember back a few years ago when clowns started popping up in different states? If I'm not mistaken, but I vaguely remember, and I'm trying to find it, there was actually one of the, like, 5 or 6 that were arrested, and it was in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they wasn't unalived in Kentucky.
Right. But, yeah, that was the only one that was reported to have been spotted when all that was going on that was actually arrested.
I mean, I can only imagine walking in my backyard out here and seeing somebody standing out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the neighbors would not call on me for shooting at 2 in the morning, but you can bet they'd call and say, hey, we killed a clown. You need to come get it.
Okay. I think I'm ready to share. Hang on.
Okay.
Where were you when you took this picture, Stephen?
I was at my main research area.
All right. So that's the...
So these are the tracks. Like, there's the first track.
How big were those, though?
Basically about 4.5 inches wide and a little bit longer than they are wide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then if we go to this one, I'll have to zoom in.
It used to look better, but now you can see it there. Yeah, that's great.
So you got an eye, the snout, arms.
Okay. I see it.
And the legs coming down behind it. And this grass is tall. Like, you can see how tall the grass is.
Yeah, the grass, 30 to 36 inches tall.
So it's kind of, I mean, look at that humped, like, back. And you got an ear, an eye. That's now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty plain. Yeah, that one's always tripped me out.
Yeah, and what tripped me out about it is how tall the grass is. If this thing stood all the way up, it'd probably be 8 or 10 feet tall.
What trips me out is somebody I know and trust took that picture. So I don't question the veracity of it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I didn't want this to be real because I was playing.
to me, what stands out is how unhealthy its arms are.
Yeah.
Well, weak arm.
Well, yeah, like it's got sick and it's...
It's skip arm day.
Yeah.
Well, by... I mean, you can't really bipedal creature. It kind of leaves the arms useless. So they would just naturally be weak because, I mean, it can't really do anything with its paws if it's bipedal.
The skeptic in me wonders, though, if that's why it's bipedal.
Yeah. I don't know.
There you go.
What's up?
Have you seen it again?
No, I did find the trackway twice. Yeah, Alan, I was
fair to Sarah away.
Yeah, as I came up out of a draw, William and I were together that day. We actually had a 4570 with us. We came up on the hill.
I would have taken it down.
And instead of shooting at it, we set the gun down on the ground and I took pictures of it. But I walked up the hill and it was coming up out of the woods into the big field there where we were, and I happened to see it.
Did it first spot you?
Yeah,
it did.
Yeah.
But the further away you get, the more it looks like it's a skin draped over a person. Yeah, I agree. It actually kind of does.
I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
To me, that's way creepier than it being.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was gonna say is like maybe it was in the middle of something.
You know what I mean? Like maybe it was in the middle of something.
It could have been.
And too bad you can't clear it up in the center back and the abdomen area.
Oh yeah.
That is actually a human leg there, or.
I think what it was, like, how far were you away, Stephen? Probably at least a football field.
I was at least a football field, probably a football field and a half, something like that.
We'll call it 150 yards,
probably 100.
Hey, Tully, forward that to me, please.
Okay.
I can throw a football when we see you.
And that is the biggest Kentucky strangeness, and I really question that one.
Well, Sarah, just because I know you're going back and forth on the dog, man, what is your just honest opinion? I mean, you're not going to hurt my feelings.
My honest opinion of the picture?
Yeah.
Trust me, I'll definitely tell you my honest opinion of it. It's probably the only dog man picture, and I hate to say this because, like, I've had a lot of guests on YouTube who were dog man witnesses, and they would bring, like, their evidence and stuff, and, you know, we present it, and, like, you know, people can interpret it however they want. I've never looked at a dog man picture and actually been like, that actually looks like kind of like a werewolf monster. But this picture that you just showed, it's obviously not pareidolian. Like, that's not an illusion. I do image and video analysis, like paranormal stuff, by the way. That's probably relevant. So I have a lot of experience in this. It's something. It's definitely something. It's not there. You know what I mean? It's the clearest picture I've ever seen of any type of dog man related anything. Because usually what I've noticed, a lot of people send me, and what I've seen, like, you know, just doing live streams myself with guests, is like they'll just have kind of dark spots in the woods. Like, oh, look at this shadowy spot. You know what I mean? And that's what they consider evidence. And it's like, no, it's not really evidence. But that picture is kind of impressive.
Well, if you look at it, you see more detail every time you look at it.
You're braver than us, though. Like, I know you do the coast-to-coast type thing to where you just have people who will come on and show their pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you ever get, like, super, like, borderline crazy people?
Yeah. Well, if more so on TikTok, which obviously we can't do like the cool, like this type of stream on TikTok. Well, I could technically, but I don't. But back when I did YouTube, I would have people on, and those people I felt like were more authentic and genuine, you know, with their beliefs and the evidence that they would bring. But I did have a guest one time who, it always perplexed me because the evidence that he gave me, it was startling because it could have gone either way. Like one of the clips that he sent for us to present during the stream, he was claiming that there was a dog man right above him in a barn, and that he didn't know what he was filming or something, but it was like stalking him from above. And at one point in the video, there's like this drool looking stuff dripping down from the cracks, and I'm just thinking, like, what's going on here? Is this guy for real? Is this like, is it he trying to do like a hoax, or like what is he doing? Because it could have gone either way. It looked very horror movie ominous. I don't think he could pull off, you know, a really good staged hoax. He didn't seem like the kind of guy, but yet he had all these weird clips, like just dozens of clips. He had creatures moving, you know, out of the woods. And it was just like this whole barrage of crazy footage. And I'm like, I don't know what to think. Is this real? Is it not real? I don't know. But yeah, I got lots of crazy guests on TikTok. That's a whole different.
I begin to question when one person comes up and they have all of these clips that they took, you know, where it's very rare, like Stephen has the one picture of the dog man. And so that makes it believable. It's not like he has pictures with Sasquatch or pictures of this or that. He's
well, what's funnier about it is he's probably Bigfoot hunting when he.
Oh, okay.
I know.
We were checking our game.
You've been hunting Bigfoot for how long now, Stephen?
With a partner for 5 years.
So
have you gotten a picture?
Yeah. I looked right up here. That's actually a game camera picture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and I've got a picture where there's nothing there, and then that picture with something in it. So, and I've had some people tell me it looks like an outhouse or something. Trust me, there's nothing out. There's no buildings in that particular spot.
And so what? I don't know, man. Like I think the more you look, the more like weird stuff that you catch. Like it's like you look into the abyss and it looks back. You know what I mean? Like
And that was the thing. We had another guy, who debunked all that stuff, before. And I told him, I want to be a Bigfoot researcher, and I keep running it across other. So,
that's okay. The minute you start giving up on Bigfoot, he's going to walk up and go, "Hey, dude."
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like when you lose your keys and you just say,
LPL looking for dog man, whatever you were doing that.
Sorry, what was it?
The LBL, Land Between the Lakes.
Yeah, the LBL. You want to talk about the LBL?
I want to hear all about it. Talk about the LBL.
The coldest night I've ever spent in my life was at the LBL.
Did you see any dog man there?
No. My partner told me he could hear something walking around outside the tent, but he didn't tell me until about 3 hours later.
You guys know about the LBL massacre, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I don't either. Tell it. I don't.
Now tell it. Tell it.
Well, okay. Okay, you want me to tell it? I'll tell you what I know of it, which is a lot, actually. It's one of my favorite topics when it comes to Dogman, especially. So the LBL, back in 1981 or 1982, there was allegedly a Dogman attack. They didn't know at the time that, the whole Dogman thing kind of came later. But there was a family of four were murdered on a campsite. They had their camper there and, they were just out doing the recreational family thing. And two campers came across, like two people out walking, they came across the site after the events had taken place. And they said that it looked like somebody had beat the trailer camper walls with their hands or fists, like some big strong person had beat the walls and the windows. The campsite was disheveled. Then they started seeing like, oh, this looks like blood, and then they find bodies. So then the police respond to it from several different counties. They come and they check it out. They find three people, what they suspected was a dad, a mom, and a little boy. The dad's arms were ripped off. It was a really, it was a bloody sight. And so while they were going through the belongings inside of the trailer, they found belongings for the dad, the mom, the little boy, and then they found a little girl's belongings. And then they kind of started to think, oh, we're missing a body. So they go back out and they're looking around and they find a little girl with a broken back hanging from a tree branch, like she had been carried up there by a creature. And they initially thought like, well, could this be a bear attack? Well, there are no bear in this area. Could it be a big cat attack? It doesn't really seem like a cat attack. There was a witness report. I don't know how deep I need to get into this, but I could talk a lot about this topic. There was a witness report came from a woman who worked at a gas station. She knew two police officers who responded. And I know this because of the Dogman a team that I used to investigate with. They did an extensive investigation on LBL multiple times. So they were able to talk to this woman, and she said that these two officers, when they came in after the incident, that they were just emotionally completely distraught. And they started telling her about what they had seen and what had happened out there. And they were talking about the bite marks, and the claw marks were so big and, just so different than any type of animal attack they'd ever seen. Then apparently at some point in the night, they all got run off the property by government entities, like some agency of the government came in and was like, okay, we're taking over, get out, you're done. We're going to do the rest of this. So apparently somehow along the way, somebody got hair samples because one of the arms that they recovered was clutching a wad of hair. So the police took the hair. They ended up getting it tested. This is what I've heard. I don't know how true it is. And the closest that they could get to matching this hair to a creature was like Canis lupus, which is basically a wolf, but it wasn't an identical match. So that's the short version. There's more.
That's wild.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wasn't there another murder of a hunter? A hunter?
Around 2000 or so.
Supposedly, so there are stories told about LBL. Some of them are just made up because there's like a big community of dogman fanatics, you know, on the internet that just kind of propagate weird stories for fun. There was a story of a hunter, a bow hunter, if that's the one you're talking about.
Yes.
The dogman team that I worked with, they were able to talk to the family of the man. And they said that that's not true, that he wasn't attacked by an animal. I don't remember exactly what they said happened. I think it was completely accidental, but the family was pretty upset that people online were claiming that he died because of an animal attack or like a dog man attack. And the family said it wasn't true. So,
now, is this actually land that is between two lakes or what is two lakes?
Yeah.
Or
I know. Okay. I've been there before. I didn't know.
Quite a bit of acreage. I mean, is it forest?
Oh, yeah. It's big. Yeah.
And it's deep forest stuff.
It is full of cemeteries. Yeah.
It's full between, of cemeteries. It's between like North Tennessee and Kentucky, right?
Yeah. Right. The south end of it's in Tennessee and the north end of it is in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Lake Barkley is on one side. I don't remember the other. Like,
is it Norris?
I don't remember. I can't remember. That scared me.
It is a truly frightening story.
Yeah. That is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, Hotel California. Alan. Yeah.
Check in, but you can never leave.
Yeah. So it's Land Between the Lakes. I wish I would have had more time to looked around and Land Between the Lakes, but it was like 19 degrees and 3 inches of snow and wind blowing 30 miles an hour. And I was trying
I've heard
have our weird group have a camping session there or something.
Yeah, I was pretty sure that we were all there because we ain't all here. So,
well, I had heard that there was a lot of Bigfoot in that area too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in the capital of Kentucky, it's illegal to shoot the tie off of a police officer.
Well, especially in Monkey Eyebrow, Kentucky.
I grew up not far from Possum Trot.
So were you only after Dogman during that period, or were you looking for other stuff, Sarah?
During, like, when I was with the Dogman team?
Well, you said you went through a cryptid period.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking for anything else or not?
No, not really. I mean, I would have liked to. There were a lot of internal problems with the team that I was working with. And I kept saying, like, you guys should take me out and actually teach me how to do this because, you know, it's funny when we filmed the pilot thing for this TV network, that was the first time I had ever done any type of cryptid hunting, you know, because I was always a ghost hunter and mostly just a photographer, but. We went out into the woods and I had no idea what I was doing. And I'm not the right kind of person to take in the woods because I don't like dirt. I don't like bugs. I don't like it, you know, dirty. I don't like trees and nature and stuff like that. But yeah, so it was a very limited experience. It mostly involved talking to witnesses and stuff like that. That was the extent that I made it to. And I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to stick with ghost hunting. And
so are you like out in the field doing that now? Like doing that?
Not now. No, not now.
Shelby says, so it's true you never leave Harlan alive. Shelby, Tully and I both have left Harlan alive, and Tully leaves Harlan alive like every month, at least once, right?
I do leave Harlan alive quite a bit. But there's a book, and I forget the lady that authored this book. There's a book called Haunted in Harlan. If you go out on, I think you can even get it on Amazon.
Yes, you can.
Ghost stories in Harlan, Kentucky. You know, there's a lot of brutal history in Harlan between coal miners and
County, USA.
Yeah, coal miners and billionaires that won it. A lot of bloody history. So that usually sets up the stage for some very interesting paranormal experiences too.
Yep. But yeah, what about all the UFO sightings in Kentucky?
UFOs?
Yep.
It's a bunch. Somerset apparently has one of the biggest gravitational anomalies, and it is also on, what was it, the 33rd?
It's a third parallel.
It's on a parallel. I don't know if it's that.
Or on the
37. And actually, here's an interesting story. In our hometown, Clay County, Kentucky, in the 1980s, in Oneida, down in Old Town, they had one of the most prolific UFO sightings in Kentucky, where everybody in the whole community seen it. And like everything came down for it.
There's a school in this place. It's called the Oneida Baptist Institute. And it's a high school where kids can come from all over the United States and sometimes from overseas. And it's set up like a college. It's the only place I know like that. These kids come and they stay in dorms in this town. And the town's very, very, very small. Like probably 1,000 people in the town total. But these kids from all over, and it looks like a prison from the outside. They have the razor wire and everything.
Chain link fence all around it. And the way they pay their tuition is they have to work in the fields.
Really?
That's serious, yeah. They used to threaten us whenever we were bad, like, we'll send you to OBI. And now that I'm older, I'm like, you couldn't afford to send me.
See, for us down here, it was always French camp. You know, if you don't do right, I'm going to send you to French camp, which is like this exclusive private military school.
Yeah, I've been threatened with military school my whole life.
Well, it's like no one has ever taken me, but it's like that, Joe, except religious fanatics.
Instead of military people, all of us up here are Catholic, and I'm not. So it would have been interesting.
The biggest attraction in this little town is the car wash. She's out at the car wash and listens to AC/DC all night.
So what about the UFO Cecil? Do you know anything about that?
Just what it was. There was a huge cylindrical, you know, I can't say English words, silver shape in the sky, and everybody in Oneida seen it. And then
it was like a cigar shape UFO.
Yeah.
Tubular.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep.
Have you guys ever seen? I know you've seen UFO, Stephen. You sent me a picture of one.
Yeah.
But it's to the group. I don't know if they y'all looked at it yet or not. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a UFO. I'm just saying it was. I don't know. I thought it was odd that it was up there by the plane.
Huh.
I did.
Isn't it UAP now?
It is.
Never.
I'm with Morgana. I refuse to say that.
I'm saying that for the people who keep up with
UAP flown by dogs because they're
it's
non-human.
Sorry, I was just going to say it's only UAP, so the government doesn't have to say UFO. That's only
that's right.
That's a good point.
Yes, I remember the first time somebody said UAP to me. I'm like, trying to play it off as I know what the hell they're talking about. And I'm like, okay, what does that stand for exactly again?
The only UFO that I've ever seen, Cecil and I were working together, and we were on our way together to work, riding together, carpooling, and we saw a cigar-shaped metallic object in the sky that was moving at an extraordinary rate.
And we're
no exhaust.
Yeah.
So cool.
I think, trying to think of the band that wrote a song about it called Steely Dan.
Remember Steely? I like
Steely. Yeah, that's Van Halen, their song. What was it? Dove Comes Walking In. That was actually about a UFO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I just hadn't said anything obnoxious yet this show. been a slow show for me, and I apologize for that. I'm usually a lot more annoying.
Cheers.
You're on good behavior, because Sarah's...
She is really cute.
You never said that about me, Joe. Shoot.
Yeah. Why not me, Joe? I mean, no offended. You wouldn't believe the things I told Steven about you guys.
See how it feels, Steven? And everybody else?
It's all getting very awkward right now.
So, Sarah, is there like a nuclear Kentucky story that you have in your pocket? Like exactly. It's like the top of the top.
Yes. Immediately, yes. Have you guys ever heard of the CSX UFO story?
No.
Nope. Okay. I have so much to say. This is one of my favorite ones. I know I say that about all of them, but they're all my favorite. I can't pick one. So the quick rundown of it. So here's my background with this story. I was a senior in high school the year this happened, which was like 2002. And I think it happened in like January. I forget what day of the year. It was like, cold weather. My mom and my stepdad had picked me up from school one evening, and we go into town in Sandy Hook. And you know how like a lot of people like to just stand around the counter in gas stations in small towns and talk about whatever?
Yeah. Yes.
So that was kind of happening. And my mom went in to this gas station, and she was in there forever. And we're like, did she get abducted? Incidentally. But she comes back out and she's like, you're not going to believe what I just heard. So apparently all these people in Sandy Hook, which is very close to Paintsville, which is where the incident occurred, they were in there talking about how the night before, like some of them said that they were there, that they saw parts of this with their own eyes, that there was some type of big incident happened on the train tracks in Paintsville, Kentucky. So the night before, the train had come from like Russell, I think. Or somewhere around Ashland, Kentucky, and it made it to Paintsville, and it hit something floating in the air, and it derailed the train, it caused a lot of damage, all this stuff. Well, so allegedly, according to the story, all of these government entities start showing up, and they take the train with them, they put it on a flatbed, they take the track, they take that with them, they just rip it off the ground and leave with it. They had a tent set up so that they could do all this, so they could load everything up and haul it off and get it out of there. I've heard that they even took soil, but I'm assuming probably soil samples. So I heard this all the way back, when it first happened. And then I never heard anything else about it ever again until probably about 2012. I started kind of hanging out with a UFO team called ARS, Appalachian UFO Research Society, I believe is their name. And we had this story in common because they were really interested in it. I was really interested in it. One of the guys on the team was like, I'm investigating it because I'm going to find that conductor. So this person ended up being able to locate two witnesses from the train. Apparently the story is 100% solid, 100% real. They really did hit a UFO. There's over the years, there was apparently a lot of talk online, like on forums and stuff, about how it was just an internet hoax or it was just an urban legend. It was not an urban legend. Something really did happen out there. And it's one of the most interesting, spooky cases, I think, in the entire state of Kentucky.
That's wild.
Yeah. That is wild.
Absolutely. Meh.
I want more. Tell me more. Maybe after the show, I could tell you some more details.
Sure. Definitely hang out.
Yeah.
Oh, we're about that time anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, you know, we've gone over yet again for just a few minutes. But any final thoughts, guys?
Kentucky is weird.
Oh, yeah. It checks the weird box for sure.
Absolutely.
Sarah, if they're not familiar with Sarah's stuff, where can everybody find yours?
I am primarily on TikTok now. I left YouTube because YouTube was, they treated me very unkindly. And so I went over to TikTok and they treat me very nicely. And so just search for Paranormally Correct on TikTok and I will pop right up talking about all kinds of weird, spooky stuff.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And
what's your handle? Just Paranormally Correct.
Hey, I'll do that. That way I'll have three people I'm following.
I'm glad to follow right now.
We all planning on doing a folk and weird show tomorrow. I know Morgana's got some footage.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's got 30 minutes of footage out in the bush, I believe.
Yes.
Of Arkansas. So we are going to be doing folk and weird. We'll plan on 8 p.m. Eastern, and I'll get some promo stuff out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
come back sometime. I want to hear more about your story.
Well, yeah. she's got the whole year's schedule. I sent it to her. any topics or states you want to jump in on, feel free. Like, it just, you know, you got all of our emails now. Just shoot us a note and be like, hey, I'm jumping off for Montana.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Again, thanks for hanging out with us. Hope to see you tomorrow night. If not, we've got next weekend. And what is our subject? Crud.
That's a good question.
Kids. All right. Indigo Kids. Wonderful. So, yep. All right. So, Indigo Kids next weekend. And again, thanks for joining us. And until next time, stay weird.